who fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments and statutes of the Lord, which I am commanding you today for your good. Behold, to the Lord your God belong heaven and the heaven of heavens, the earth with all that is in it. Yet the Lord set his heart in love on your fathers and chose their offspring after them, you above all peoples, as you are this day. Circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of your heart, and be no longer stubborn. The Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, the awesome God, who is not partial, who takes no bribe. He executes justice for the fatherless and the widow, and loves the sojourner, giving him food and clothing. Love the sojourner, therefore, for you were sojourners in the land of Egypt. You shall fear the Lord your God. You shall serve him and hold fast to him, and by his name you shall swear. He is your praise, he is your God, who has done for you these great and terrifying things that your eyes have seen. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is written in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul, called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, to our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him, in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift, as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless, in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you are called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 22nd chapter. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Now while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them a question, saying, what do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? They said to him, the son of David. He said to them, how is it then that David in the Spirit calls him Lord, saying, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. If then David calls him Lord, how is he his son? And no one was able to answer him a word, nor from that day did anyone dare ask him any more questions. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As baptized Christians, you are, by the grace of God, to spend your lives going through Christ crucified. By faith alone, daily. Just as the catechism language puts it, what does such baptizing with water indicate? It indicates that the old Adam in you make, which brings you to live because of God's promises, do you realize your rescue and renewal? As St. Paul was inspired to write, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. Under such truth, there is a gigantic hope that, as you are kept staring at Christ crucified, you're not missing the for you aspect of it. To make sense, which is only possible by faith alone, to make sense of the suffering of the Savior, you need to be brought to recognize and believe that you need rescue from the depths of your depravity. But to know what that means, that you believe that you need rescue from the depth of your depravity, to know that means dying and rising through Christ crucified. And then it happens. Dying and rising. Oh no. The good old Adam in you does everything to get you to avoid staring at the sun. Anything to survive. Self-justification, excuses after excuses, denial, turning to and believing the law to be not that bad, but it's doable. And so with the law being not that bad, the old man screams within you, I'm not that bad. By the grace of God, be repenting and believing. Drown him and kill him. The old Adam must be crucified. As St. Paul reveals of himself in Galatians and many other places, for I through the law died through the law, I have been crucified with Christ. What happens in the gospel text is not an academic debate or an exercise in trivia, in law. Yet again, when dabbling with the Word of God, there is a dabbling with the seriousness of life and death. So the Pharisees yet again take another turn in trying to stump the teacher, thinking that life can be gained through the law. They throw a law question at Christ to test him. Now, what part of the law they may have been referencing didn't matter, because they were hit back with the law in all of its sternness. The test of Christ failed. The Lord summarized the entire law and gave the first principle. God is above all. He must be loved perfectly. And if that wasn't enough, he tells them how that law is lived out on earth. Love neighbor as self. Notice, by the way, how Jesus' summary of the law, speaking to the sinful flesh, points it to itself. In other words, God knows how you think about yourself above everyone else. So what better way to measure your love than the amount that you love yourself? And with that, there is nothing more to say, nothing more to debate. Men think to play with the law. They try to use it to their own advantage, but it backfires. Liars don't hear the law, but the law hears them. They get caught in their own words, dabbling with the law, even preaching it, is like releasing a biological weapon on a battlefield. It's hard to aim exactly. It goes where it pleases, and guess what? It kills everyone. The Pharisees thought they could live through it, but then it was turned back on them. It was revealed for exactly how much life it gives. None. The law demands perfect obedience. Love God and neighbor perfectly. With the old ceremonial law hard to keep, hard to remember, well, you bet it was. But this summary of two, well, it's easy to remember, but impossible for fallen men to do. Your corrupt nature is not capable of this perfect love. You're tainted through and through, ever being made aware of the pull of your lust of self, ever conscious of how you look, ever sensitive about what people think of you, always concerned about your own health and future. Your daydreams give you away, even if you daydream of being charitable. You dream of being famous for it, of giving speeches, of being recognized for your goodness. Your old Adam wants to share the glory. It wants credit for not being all that bad. By the grace of God, be repenting and believing. Who here has not had ill thoughts toward their neighbor? Perversions of the flesh, vengeance for some small insult. What is wrong with you? You know what is good, but you still turn towards evil. Here is what is wrong. You're sinners, full of sin. While you remain in fallen flesh, the law stands against your old Adam, shows you your sin, exposes and accuses you, as you sang and confessed. The law of God is good and wise. It demands only what is good. But you're evil. You cringe at the thought of inviting homeless people into your homes. The Pharisees meant it for evil. They sought to tempt Jesus, but Jesus delivered the law, just as his men in the office do. And it is meant for good. Jesus switched it. The law left them silent, we even had a question of his own. What do you think about Christ? Whose son is he? By God's grace, they sputter out David's son. Good answer. But Jesus has a follow-up question meant not to tempt or shame the Pharisees, but to lead them to the truth. He asks, if he is David's son, how is it that David calls him Lord? Sometimes you fail to see that Jesus is reaching out to the Pharisees. They come with torches and clubs, an angry mob bent on his destruction, hating him only because he's not like them. And again, he welcomes and invites them in. Don't hate the Pharisees. Jesus didn't, and still doesn't. For they are a display of you in your sinful flesh. When Jesus reaches out to them, when he invites them to contemplate how it is that David's son is David's Lord, he is inviting you into the mysteries of the kingdom. David's son is David's Lord because he, Christ Jesus, is Lord. He is the deliverer of Israel who spoke from the burning bush, the pillar of fire that led them by night, that sent food from heaven. Here is the great surprise of the Old Testament. The Lord that the law commands that you love perfectly and without fail. The Lord loves you perfectly and without fail, despite your imperfections and failures. He is constant. He is trustworthy. He is merciful. The Lord could have asked the Pharisees trivial questions back toward them. How is it that the bush burned but was not consumed? How is it that Adam ate the fruit but doesn't die? How is it that Joseph was betrayed and left for dead but rescued and forgave his brothers? You can ask those questions and more. How is it that faith saves? Baptism saves? How is it that Jesus is taken from the sight of the Emmaus disciples yet remains abiding with them? How is it that the risen Christ has given himself for food in his own supper? How is it that a pastor forgives sins? The Bible delivers God's word. How is it that you are joined to the saints in heaven, that a blind man is healed by a little bit of spit mud? How is it that God hears your prayers and the Holy Spirit himself intercedes for you? How is it that the dead will rise on the last day? And how is it that the just shall live by faith? The Lord Jesus Christ skips over the triviality. He cuts to the chase. He cuts to the bone. He delivers the law in its perfectness. He kills, but then he reaches out with the gospel of himself, to make alive. There's really no better question than, what do you think about the Christ? Even as all the law leads back to, you shall have no other gods, think about the Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He has the words of eternal life. There are no other questions and no other answers. And isn't it appropriate that from that day, no one dare ask him any more questions? The old Adam will strive to be bright and cunning. He will be desperate to survive, but he must be crucified. And in Christ, he is crucified, that the new man may arise by the power of the gospel. The law of God is good and wise, delivered to fallible, stubborn, prideful old Adams throughout the world, all needing to be crucified. But the gospel shows the Father's grace. New life to those who have died in Christ. Forgiven, loved, sanctified, fed. This is not really a question seeking an answer. What do you think about the Christ? It's an invitation to peer into heaven, into God's grace, into his unlimited atonement for the forgiveness of sins. To think about Christ, to think about God's love, intended to be received by faith alone, that the just would live by faith. Those who have been brought to repentance and belief truly know their need of what Christ has finished for them. And seeing, confessing the sin that has such a grasp of them, only they are able to say, Christ's sufferings are for me. For there, through the bloody crucifix, is the faith that the cross demands, and yet it delivers. Behold, what do you think about the Christ? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.